In this edition of Spies of London, we look at Section 7, or the License to Kill. Section 7. That doesn't conjure up much at all. The Intelligence and Security Act sounds dull too, but actually, it is not the correct name of the Act. What concerns us here is the Intelligence Services Act, the ISA of 1994. Buried deep within are a number of sections, as with all such acts. Section 7, though, is very special indeed. In fact, the Act is more famous because it marked the occasion when MI6, Britain's secret intelligence service, was formally recognised. Incredible though it may seem, the organisation did not officially exist prior to 1994. Some say that it was the EU that forced the spies out from the cold, but this seems at best coincidental. The spies were forced out from the cold by themselves. They were busy building one of the most gregarious and least secret architectural monstrosities in the whole of these islands. The new MI6 HQ at Vauxhall Cross, on the south bank of the River Thames, has since featured prominently in more than one James Bond film. So if the declassifying of MI6, GCHQ and their masters is the lasting legacy of that 1994 Act of Parliament, why all the fuss about Section 7? Section 7 permits the serving Secretary of State to allow agents of MI6 to break foreign laws overseas. In other words, in specific cases for which a rationale has been developed and written down, it removes the risk of UK prosecutions against activities outside the UK. Of course, such actions can be punished by the local law enforcement organisations, but this Act removes the risk of reprisal at home. This is a particularly important time for Section 7. There is a January 2017 Guardian article which refers to an ongoing case that is due to be heard by the UK Supreme Court. In particular, it relates to a decision taken many years ago not to seek prosecution of an MI6 senior official called Sir Mark Allen. Although the case is highly unlikely to change earlier legal decisions, it is being brought by two alleged Libyan victims of extraordinary rendition by the British authorities. They were Abdul Hakim Belhaj and his wife. It is highly likely, though as far as I can tell not proven or admitted, that Sir Mark Allen's activities are the subject of a Section 7 exemption. Part of my reason for this belief is that Foreign Secretary Jack Straw is named in the legal actions. He would have signed the Section 7 orders if they exist because he was Foreign Secretary at the time. The people bringing the current case are the victims of CIA torture, which they claim was facilitated by MI6 in the person of Sir Mark Allen. They have foregone a financial settlement likely to be several million pounds to have their case heard. If you doubt the sums of money involved, then look at the £2.2 million paid to a man, his wife and four children. The man was named as Sami Al-Sadi, and they were abducted around the same time as Belhaj and his wife, and both men were locked up for 6 years. This is dramatic stuff. It has, of course, always been presumed that MI6 agents broke foreign laws abroad, and possibly routinely so. But what the 1994 ISA does is formally bring these powers into a legal framework for the first time. Because MI6 began life as a military intelligence outfit, that's where the MI comes from, it has always been presumed that its officers and agents are able to perform some of the kinds of activities as other military people, including assassination or murder, call it what you will. Which brings us at last to License to Kill. As you probably know, there is no such license in Britain. It is a fiction created by Ian Fleming. But in the immediate post-war climate, perhaps leading up to the middle 1960s, those involved in intelligence have made it pretty clear that the British did kill the odd foreign agent. Remember that this was the Kim Philby era, and the death penalty for murder was still in force in the UK, never mind in the US. Killing the odd foreigner wasn't particularly seen in the light it would be today. Contrast our own principled position on this with the current Russian regime. They have been implicated in several assassinations abroad, not least in the killing by polonium poisoning of Alexander Litvinenko on the streets of London. Almost all states which we consider enemies still kill at home and abroad. Although we like to consider ourselves above and beyond such gutter activities, the 1994 ISA does leave open the possibility that a future Secretary of State will sanction a British citizen to kill a nasty chap abroad. It is not as sexy as a license to kill, but the ISA provides the legal framework for such a killing that is beyond the reach of the European court system, particularly so as Britain prepares to leave the EU.